Corina, Corina, where you been so long? Corina, Corina, where you been so long? I ain't had no loving since you've been gone. Well, I love Corina, tell the world I do. I love Corina, tell the world I do. Just a little more loving, let your heart be true. Corina, Corina, where'd you stay last night? Corina, Corina, where'd you stay last night? I come home this morning, the sun was shining bright. What they say, Corina, Corina, is it true what they say? That you grow in colder, more and more every day. Well, I left Corina far across the sea. I left Corina way across the sea. You wouldn't write no letter.
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are
storm. Well, we're finally getting the hang of it here, I think. It's going to be a learning process. Welcome to the shooting bench. It is the 4th of January. And it's a Wednesday, and we're still learning. We got this new broadcasting gizmo here, and according to all the little bouncing red and green doohickeys, it looks like we're making noise out there, so that's a good thing. Still got a lot to learn about this, and I'll do the best I can, but it says, you guys are saying that there's sound, and it sounds clear, so I'm going to take your word for it and continue to march. Boy, this has been a very trying time here this last 6 weeks or so with this computer problem and everything. So, like I said, we've had some very concerned listeners. It's helped with getting the computer problem solved, and the Tinker is helping me getting the sound, the WinAmp thing gotten rid of, so we're coming along a little bit at a time. I'm still not sure. Let me check here. Well, it appears like it's recording, so we'll let it go with that and see what the archive sounds like later on. For those of you within reasonable driving distance of us, there's a that's good, Doc. Thank you. I don't know how much lag time there is. I think that's a Vozcast or a Shoutcast thing anyway, but I'm glad that it sounds better. For those of you in driving distance to Sholone Snowflake in this area, we've got a concealed weapons class coming up on the 21st in Snowflake. Actually, it's in Taylor. It's in a little town that's kind of growed to the south side of Snowflake at the Keep and Bear Arms Gun Shop. And that will be Saturday the 21st from 9 to 1, 9 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon. And then there's another one, same class in Sholone, on the 28th, the following Saturday, same time. That will be at Red, White, and Blue Realty in Sholo, actually in Lakeside. So if anybody's got a hankering to get in on that, we'll just go to the website, go to southwestshootingauthority.com and click on training events, handgun, and multi-state concealed weapons, and you can go right to it. Okay. Careful there, Mini Men Pin. All right, let's move. You know, we did that story the other day again on the Remington 700 triggers. And I'm sure there's been some people have some problem. They have been sued. They have had to pay out some money. But I can't imagine that the problem being as bad. I think they paid the money to keep from having to pay more money for the fight. I don't know. Because if it was that bad, I can't imagine that that the military would be still using them. The military has used Remington for sniper rifles. And so, as a matter of fact, Remington has been they are the top supplier of military sniper rifles since 1873. And, of course, we're only talking about the Remington 700. In 1873, it was a rolling block of some kind, and then it was the 1903, the 03A4, 03A3. And, well, I think it was the A4 was the sniper version. And then along mid-60s, the M40 came along, and that was a Remington 700 action. And then the M24, which was the first purpose-built sniper rifle for the military. And then they got a couple of newer, fancier, weird-looking things nowadays. But anyway, they're all based on, since the mid-60s, they've all been based on Remington 700 design. Law enforcement around the world. Certainly Remington's not the only thing they use by any remote stretch of the imagination, but there's still a lot of them being used all over the world, more in the United States and surely than any of the rest of them, but they all use quite a bit. But I never sent mine back for the recall, Doc. I've got, I don't know how many 700s I had. I had a couple of pre-700s, the 780, or the 7, what was it, 721 and the 722. And I never could find any difference in the trigger in those and the 700s. They did, for all the world, I could tell they were absolutely identical. And the one of the 788, or not 788, the 722s I still have, and I'm still shooting, still has the same trigger in it that it had in it in 1954 or 55. And I have no idea how many Remington 700s I've had since then. I have one, a 721 action that my 338-06 is built on. And it's about a 1953 or 54 gun. And I've got I've got another 722 that was originally a 300 Savage that's now a 308, 1955-60 gun. No problem at all with it. And I've never, of all the people that I've hunted with, all the people that I've trained, all the people that I've competed with, all the people I've known and shot the bull with over campfires here and there, I've never heard of that problem happening. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying I don't think it's as big a problem as some people would like you to believe that it is. Because Remington has used, I don't have any idea how many, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions that they've used. I know it's a considerable amount. But the M40, like I said, they started using those in the mid-60s. They're still using them. So that's, what, 50 years? And I would think if there was going to be a problem, that it probably would have manifested itself at some point. Because if that was happening very often with the military, they'd dump it and go to something else in a heartbeat. They wouldn't continue to use them. And I don't think a low bidder type thing, because you're looking at, the price of a Remington 700 can't be a whole lot different than the price of a Winchester Model 70 or a Howe 1500 or something like that. And I'm sure, well, Howe is going to be a little bit cheaper, but I just don't think it's true. And if you used, Savage, maybe. Not that I'm having anything against Savage at all. They are fine rifles. But if it was Savage, then you might argue the point that it was a lowest bidder type thing. But between Remington, I don't think is in that category at all. So I really don't think that was it. And the Model 24s have been used since the late 80s until present. What's that? Let's say 30 years, a little less than 30 years. So I don't know. I don't understand why everybody's got this thing about Remingtons. I think it's just because they got deep pockets and it's they'd rather just settle than go through the court battle, I guess. I don't know. That still doesn't make any sense to me. But there's a story on Remington out there, and it says that U.S., having seen their share of military conflicts over the years, have gone through quite a few different companies and manufacturers of wartime supplies. Not all of them are still around, and few have lasted 200 years. Remington, they say, is an exception. They've provided arms to the U.S. and its allies dating back to the Civil War. So that's a pretty, pretty shiny reputation there. And there's also quite a few shotguns went to from Remington to the military for quite a while. They had the Model 10, the Model 11, which the Model 11 looked just like and was very much modeled after the Browning, what do they call it, the Auto 5, the humpback looking thing. And then the 870s, they went to during Korea. They were using all of those during in the field. So it's not just rifles. Remington has been in there. Matter of fact, if we want to get really dig into it a little bit, there was a lot of Remington handguns that were used. Certainly many, many, many 1911s were made by Remington and used since World War, well, I don't know when Remington started building them, but I would say probably World War One, somewhere there. Certainly World War Two, there were lots of Remington 1911s. And there was, what else? What was I going to say? Oh, back before the 1911, there were Remington revolvers. And I think Remington was one. Well, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say I thought Remington may have been one of the first two or three to come out with a double action revolver, but I'm not sure about that. I think Smith & Wesson was probably first, and I'm not positive that Remington had a double action or not. I think they did. But anyway, let me go and look at the chat room here while I'm trying to babysit this Sam thing, trying to watch it, trying to figure it out, and learn all the little tricks about it. It is a complicated deal compared to what I've been using, but it does a lot of stuff. If I ever learn how to use it, maybe we'll get back on track and have regular. Right now, the problem is going to be, and this is going to be something I'm going to have to work with, your Liberty Lounge is going to be, at least this week, is going to be a little bit different, because it's going to be hard to pull the songs from the different places that I use them, including YouTube, onto the Sam broadcaster. So we'll just and I'm not going to sing to you. So the next best thing will be listening to the same song over and over for 2 hours. I don't know. We'll figure out something though. I'll probably get Amy to come sing to you. She said no, but I think she's kidding. I don't think she means that. I love sitting next to her in church. She sings a little angelic voice. I just love to hear her sing. Hopefully, I get. Will you sing to me tonight when we go to bed? Huh? Not tonight. Why not? Why not tonight? Tonight's a good night as any other night, isn't it? Yeah, I don't think she means that. I think she'll sing to me, serenade me when we go to bed in a little while. Okay, I don't know, Yakima Glock. They might have. I can't argue that point. Doc could probably know better. I don't know if Remington started out making barrels or not. I thought their first thing was the old falling block or rolling block rifles, and then into the they made a version of 45-70. Well, that was probably the falling block though. It was the 45-70. Anyway, that's back Doc's time. He could remember. He's got firsthand experience with that stuff back in the 1830s or 60s or whatever it was, or 70s. So we'll get Doc to weigh in on that. All right, let's see. You know, I'm gonna take a chance here and see if I can make a song play here for a break. And you know, I miss being able to pick on Eddie Crump. Yakima Glock, where is Eddie Crump? I haven't seen Eddie Crump for a while. I haven't seen the whole damn bunch from Washington, except you. Northwest Heavy's dropped in a time or two. And it's always good to see him. And who else from Washington? Not very many. Haven't seen any of the Bosworths. I know all the stuff that's going on with them up there, but I still don't ever see them in here anymore. And who else? Eddie Crump. I don't know. I'll have to check with somebody. But anyway, I've got a song here, and I think I'm going to play it in Eddie Crump's memory. And I'll be back in a little bit. Let me make sure I get the right one. In his honor, not his memory. He's not dead, is he? Maybe he is dead. He hasn't showed up here for a long time. Yeah, in his honor. Amy just corrected me. So, anyway, we'll be back. Think I can do that. I just don't think I can handle that anymore. I think we're going to try something else. AC/DC. Let's try this one. That sounds better.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Okay, now then, let's double check here and see. I may have to start all over here because I forgot to click a button. I told you I'm just learning. So let me see if everybody's got their sound back here before I get all carried away here again. Check the recording. All right, it's good. All right, let's see. Okay, let's see what the lag time is here. It looks like it's live there. That one's bouncing. That one's bouncing. Everything looks good. All right, Desert Rat says we're back. Mini Men Pen says we're back. All right. Okay, good enough. Now, I don't remember exactly where I started, but let's start where I do remember. It's been rumored, and I've since found out that I believe it is not a rumor, is that all of our aircraft carriers are not where they're supposed to be. They're not protecting our interest. They are in port. And from the sounds of that, now some of these reports were a little more dramatic, a little more sensationalized than others. You know what Alex Jones says on InfoWars and some of these other outfits around there that make it sound a little worse than it may be. But the fact is that all of our carriers were in port at the same time. Whether they still are or not, I'm not entirely sure. But as maybe I can find out here. Let's see. Let me push that little button and wait just a minute. And okay, so the USS Nimitz went to Bremerton, Washington on 15 December, and apparently is still there. That's its home port there. And the Eisenhower home port is in Norfolk, Virginia, and it pulled in there on 30 December, so it's only been there a few days. The USS Carl Vinson is in San Diego. It pulled into San Diego on 21 November. Theodore Roosevelt pulled into San Diego on 22 December. The Abraham Lincoln is being worked on. It's not finished yet. It returned to water. Let's see. Scheduled to be completed in November 16. We'll have to get back on that one. The George Washington home port is Norfolk, Virginia. First carrier qualification, 17 December, returned to Norfolk. The John Stennis returned to Bremerton on 18 December. The Harry S. Truman entered the, now this one's being worked on, it entered the shipyard in Portsmouth, Virginia on 7 September, so that one's got an excuse. The Ronald Reagan is the only one out of country, and it's in port in Japan. Its home port is San Diego, but right now it is, as of 21 November, is in Yokosuka. And the George H.W. Bush went to Norfolk on 21 December. The Gerald Ford, long story about the Gerald Ford. It looks like it's not finished yet or still working on it. The John F. Kennedy, that's still being worked on. Okay, some of these are being worked on. They have an excuse. But nevertheless, we have 10 active carriers right now, and they are all in port. And as far as I'm concerned, I find that to be a bit of a problem. I don't know. All the stories say that Obama has ordered them to port. I don't know that Obama has the authority to say, even as commander-in-chief, I don't know that he can say, I want you all to bring all our carriers in. I don't want any of them out. Bring all of them into a port somewhere for whatever reason, scrape the barnacles off the hull or whatever, and do something with them. So I don't know if the president has the authority to do that. I don't know if all of the military would abide by that. I don't know how that works exactly. But whoever ordered it and why ever it is, I got a problem with it. From what I've read, we haven't had all of our carriers in port. We don't have anything in the Middle East right now. And that, to me, just seems bothersome. Maybe I'm a little paranoid or worried for nothing, but it seems bothersome to me that we don't have anything out there. Evidently it wasn't important, and I forgot about it. Why what, Rolex? Why does it bother me, or why are they in... Rolex, I know that they're supposed to have Christmas leave, but they've never, since World War II, ever had all of our ships in port at the same time. Not everybody gets Christmas leave. I mean, hell, you was in the military, not everybody gets Christmas leave all the time. And I don't think that the security of the nation takes, or that your Christmas leave takes precedence over the security of the country. So, I don't know if the subs are still out or not. As far as I know, I haven't heard anything about them, so I assume that they are. But they can't launch airplanes off of them. That's the problem I have. There's a lot of firepower not being utilized there, not being available, not utilized. And maybe it's nothing. I don't know. But I just know that it's the first time since World War II that this has happened. It just seems a little bothersome. But we'll let it play out and see what happens, I reckon. Worst that can happen is they'll pop in here and... by the way, the picture that you see floating around on Facebook out there, it shows this long line of ships in harbor. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. There are some carriers there. They're second string bunch. They're not anything real serious. And that picture is out of date, and they're using it to promote this story, but it has nothing to do with this story. Nothing whatever. The new military, I guess that's supposed to be Wines, and I believe that to be true, that the new military Wines over at leave. I think that's probably a fact. Not too impressed with the way things are going. I'm anxious to see what Trump's going to do with the military. Like I said, my biggest concern is whether or not he's going to live for his first 100 days. If he does, then I think we'll see some changes here in the not too distant future. But I'm sure excited to see what's going to happen here. I say excited because I don't know if Rolex, you better be kidding, buddy. You're letting everybody off for their birthday? No. That's not cool at all. Don't get me started on this military. I'm getting where I can't think now. All right, let's move on here. Let's see, some of this stuff is so old now, my crystal ball hasn't kept things updated while we were out. You know, I've got it. Let's see here. Let me see if I can get this for you. I'm going to see if I can pull this up. It might take me just a second here. See if I can share this and get it up where you can hear it. Actually, I don't think I will be able to because Sam doesn't do that. Damn it. Okay, well, I'll have to see. There's some things I'm going to have to work out. I got to figure out how to get some of these things through Sam so we can get the show back to normal. That bothers me. But anyway, well, at least we're back on. Better than it was. All right. There was... Changing gears completely here. Getting away from the military stuff and the battleships and the aircraft carriers. And there was a state representative in Missouri. It's kind of like Louisiana. No, it's not Louisiana. Doc says Trump's going to create a new unit from the Survival Circle volunteers and call it the Geriatric Brigade. Yeah. Makes perfect sense to me. Anyway, this representative in Missouri robbed at gunpoint Monday night. This was Monday night when? 2 weeks ago? As he left a party in St. Louis. And not only was he robbed, they got his car. I mean, he was really robbed. He was completely robbed. They got his car. They got his cell phone. They got his 40 caliber Smith & Wesson handgun that he carried for personal protection and somehow elected not to use it that night. Don't know what the circumstances were or how fast all this happens. But he was in the vehicle with the gun and with the cell phone and with his money and with everything else when he was robbed. He said, "I'm glad to be alive. My car and phones and stuff are replaceable." So why do you carry a gun exactly? Okay, the gun's replaceable. I just carry it because I want to get on Facebook and say I carry a gun. Maybe that's why. Because it's replaceable, so I don't care if it was stolen. They didn't kill me, so. According to reports, two men, one of whom was armed with a firearm, approached him as he sat in his car outside the St. Louis bar about 7:20 p.m. The guy's name was Franks. Bruce Franks. Said Franks, who supports the right to carry a firearm, said suspect saw the weapon sitting beside him and, with a gun already aimed at him, he made the split-second decision to hand over his valuables instead of trying to fight back and risk losing his life. If I reached for a gun and he already has a gun pointed at me, that's more reason for him to shoot me. I would rather both of us survive. No one was injured during the incident. Okay. Anyway, he goes on to give a description of him in the car and everything. They said, I was thinking just about how big the gun violence problem was in our neighborhoods, whether it's downtown, white, black, the governor's wife, newly elected representative, it's real for everybody. It really is. Yeah, I wasn't in his place. I have no idea what went on, so maybe he certainly did make the right decision. I don't know. Rolex, the cool kids. Oh, I see what you're saying. All right. Let's move on here. I've got to get through. We did manage to get a show, I think, squeezed off here during the Electoral College voting. I think we managed to get that out of the way. And we talked about it being in the fourth time in American history that the president-elect lost the popular vote but won the Electoral College. And that's exactly why we have the Electoral College right there. I wasn't too sure about how everything worked before now, but I see now that properly executed, it seems to me like the Electoral College, you know, I've complained about it myself quite a bit, but the Electoral College is not anything new. This is something that the Founding Fathers set up way back when the Fathers founded. And I think we see now, because of the high population of the some of the liberal strongholds out there, you know, Denver would rule Colorado if they went by the popular vote. Denver and Aurora. Look at Albuquerque. I mean, New Mexico probably doesn't quite fall into that thing, because Albuquerque is not nearly as bad as Denver and some of the other places out there. But if Phoenix was like Tucson, then Arizona would be dead. It would be gone. And that's true in just about every state, that you have these big metropolitan areas that would rule the vote if it wasn't for the Electoral College. And I still don't understand it completely, so I'm certainly not an expert on it by any remote stretch of the imagination, but I do understand it a little bit better, or at least I think I do. You know, we were talking about World War II pistols and stuff a while ago. This is a pretty neat story. It's kind of sad, but during an event in where they were collecting unwanted weapons in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I used to live in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I moved from Battle Mountain, Nevada to, where was it? Place in Ohio, and I can't remember the name of it. Not too far from Waverly, Ohio. And then over to Fredericksburg. And anyway, authorities received an antique gun along with a handwritten note explaining its origin. So assuming this note is true, the note says, "This gun was issued to my father in the Army around 1944. He has since died, and I am unable to use it safely." Wow, can't you give it to somebody else in the family? Surely there's somebody. The anonymous author concluded that giving up the gun was a win-win-win. It's a win for the gun owner, a win for police, and a win for the community. The gun was one of nearly 30 turned in that day, and for each firearm turned in, the Doris Buffett donated $100 to a local charity. Well, how about that? That's a win for her, too, because she's not out anything, because it's going to be tax deductible, so it doesn't matter. Since its start 2 years ago, the program has collected more than 100 firearms. Well, good for them. Hooray for our side. All right. I've got to take care of some electronical things here, so give me just a second. Let me hang on a minute. I'm still learning. Give me a break. I'm trying. Let's see if we can do this here. Still trying to figure it out. Let's try this and see if it works. Hey, it worked.
So hard to realize we're through. When we quit, you said you'd always love me. I wonder if you feel the way I do. I'll never forget our days together, even though I loved you then and will forever. sweetest love, dear, that two people ever knew. You told me that I need not worry, that forever you'd be true. Through this dreary world alone I wonder, my thoughts will always be with you.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
I don't know why that's cutting my song short there. I'll have to get to Tinker and get his pick his brain here and see if I can figure out how that works, why it's not working. All right. Maybe, I don't know if you guys have, I know you guys up in Washington are having a heck of a time, lots of snow and everything. We are really not having a winter. It's first week of January and it was 40 degrees out there a while ago. And, we've got two little bitty snows and we're definitely not having winter yet this year. And it's, I'm really concerned about wildfires this year. If we don't get a heck of a lot more moisture, we're already, from what I understand, year before last, 2015, we were supposedly at a 24-year drought level. Or had been in drought conditions for 24 years. And it's just gradually been declining all that time. And there's been, in the last 24 years, the most snow I think that's ever been in Pine Top was 2 feet. And that was, Easter Sunday of 2012. And so it just keeps getting worse, and I'm really concerned about what's going to happen this year. Washington seems to be getting more than their share up there. So if you get tired of it, Yakima Glock, please feel free send a little bit down this way if you want. We can certainly use it. So anyway. Hey, Susie B dropped in there. You may have 2 inches where you're at, but from what I've seen some pictures of other places up there, there's like feet. Up there at Bosworth's house, they've got a substantial amount of snow up there. We've got some good pictures of that young son of his out there standing up to his armpits just about out in the yard, out in front of the out by the front door there. So, and Radio Doc, I don't know how your winter's going over. Farmington hadn't had any bad winters for many, many years. I don't know that they're, because of where they're at and the rivers and stuff, I don't think they're having nearly the drought that we are here. But I can remember when I was a kid in Farmington that Susie B, send it down, sweetie. We can use it. Just send it right on down. Package it up and send it FedEx. I'll be glad to pick it up and go and share it generously. When I was a kid there in Farmington, I can remember going out on, we had a good-sized pond. I don't know if you'd quite call it a lake, but it was a big old pond that we had. And it was probably, it was probably 80 to 100 feet wide and probably 250 feet long, something like that. You call it a small lake, I guess. We called it the pond. But when I was a kid, it froze over every year enough that we went out ice skating. Never any danger of falling through. And we used to go out and play hockey. We used to take a skull can and fill it up with sand and tape it up and go out there and play hockey. And, son, I want you to know that if that thing ever left the ice and hit you in the shin, you knew it. It was not a happy day. More than once, one of us had come back with cut shins from that skull can cutting through your britches. But but now, you see, there was over in Tom Bolak's place over there, he has a huge lake out there on his place. He was got enough money. He had the San Juan River rerouted around his place quite a few years ago. That used to freeze up enough, that big old lake used to freeze up enough, there'd be a circle right in the middle of it where all the Canadian geese would land. And matter of fact, I'm convinced that it was the heat of the Canadian geese that kept that from freezing right there. Of course, up in Cody, Wyoming, it did freeze up there enough that we saw a Canadian goose freeze in the ice up there and couldn't leave. And people throw corn and stuff out there on the ice so it could eat until it melted enough it could get out. It was just in there for like a day. But I think there was enough geese in that big lake that kept it from freezing. But to get back to the original point here, I don't remember anything freezing up there to that degree where you could walk across even a small pond, you know, 2 feet deep. For a long, long time up in Farmington. I don't remember, I've been gone for a few years. I don't know what it's been doing here lately. Maybe Tebow can weigh in there and let us know what it's been doing. But it hasn't been very cold up there for quite a while. So anyway, well, I'm gonna continue to work on this SAM gizmo and try to make it run a little smoother. I just made a mistake a while ago that I figured I wasn't supposed to have made. So we'll see if we can get that worked out. And slowly but surely, I'm kind of figuring some of this stuff out here. Okay, that worked good. No, it didn't work good because that's not what I want. Let's try this. Okay, I got it. It worked. Worked fine. All right. Well, before I screw something else up, I think I'm going to get out of here. I will be here whether we have a regular show. Amy and I, as long as this thing keeps working like this, Amy and I will be here Friday. Amy will be here with her regular show. And I'm going to make every effort to have a Liberty Lounge. Now, I don't know if I'll have to pre-record a bunch of this. It won't be a pre-recorded show. I will be here. I promise you, I will be in this chair in front of this computer Friday night unless something dramatic emergency comes up and it's not possible. But I have every intention of being here Friday. Amy has every intention of being here Friday. So we are going, I promise you, that we're going to get back to normal. It may take us another couple of weeks, but we are going to get Liberty Lounge, the Shooting Bench, and Living Way Out Here back in the saddle here. So take that for what it's worth. See you, Claire. Take that for what it's worth. We'll see you Friday. Thanks for joining me.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all. Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye says it all.